I remember as a child asking, can you help me? Whether at school or at home, I can't remember. But it was met with a single word answer, yes. That was it, yes. No movement, no call to action. My inquiring face must have cried out for more, to which came, I can help you, but will I help you? They are two different questions. Now, I don't know if it was a smart parent or a smart teacher, I really can't remember, but it taught me the difference. And actually, to ask latterly, will you help me? We land once again this morning in Luke's Gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life and ministry, written around 65 AD. And today we're in chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, the healing of a man with leprosy. Though we're going to focus this morning just on one verse, verse 13. At the heart of the passage. This is the last miracle Jesus does before the Pharisees start to gather against him. And the key question here is, will you help me? Verse 12, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus is, verse 12, in one of the towns around Galilee, when a man comes to him covered with leprosy or a similar skin disease. This man would have been classed as unclean by Jewish law. Ceremonially unclean. A man who cannot come to God as part of the worshipping community. He would have been barred, left out, an outsider out of the community, out of the worshipping community. This is no small thing. He is an outcast. He is unwelcome and he is unwanted. What does the man want? Well, verse 12, for Jesus to make him clean again. Which we assume means healing of the leprosy, but it's also bigger than that. This man wants Jesus to bring him back on the inside, to make him part of things again. He knows Jesus can, so the question is, will Jesus? Does Jesus care enough to make this man clean? And if Jesus is willing, then can he? Is he powerful enough? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus is both willing and able to do that, and that's what Luke hits us with in verse 13. In this instance, the physical healing for the man with leprosy, but more than that, back into the community and the worshipping community of God's people. It's a picture we know which points us ultimately to God's forgiveness. This healing is real and physical for this man Jesus encounters, but it's also a picture for us of being brought back into a right relationship with God, into the worshipping community of God's people, which comes as people find God's forgiveness. What happened to this man on the outside of his skin is a picture of what God can do for him, for us, for anyone on the inside of our heart. Can we find healing for the state of our hearts, forgiveness for our me-centered, not God-centered hearts, the forgiveness that will bring us to God, perhaps for the first time in our lives, or back to him where we've wandered away? Yes, Jesus is both willing and able. Let's take those briefly, one at a time. First, Jesus is willing. On the screen, Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. Jesus really does care about each of us. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Here is an outsider, an outcast, rejected and alone. He comes to Jesus with nothing. Jesus cares about him. Where do you stand before God? Maybe you're doing okay. You feel spiritually alive, on fire, daily listening to God in his word and speaking to him in prayer. They're going well. This season of COVID may seem more like an opportunity than a challenge. You're fighting your battle against temptation to do the wrong thing at work, at home. You're not giving in. You're not giving up. That really may be you, and we must praise the Lord for that. But maybe you're struggling at the moment. That seems to be more the experience of most of us at this time, as I've met with and spoken to people about how they're doing. Things are hard. Some are particularly fearful about their health. Some feel particularly lonely or isolated. The death of a loved one intensified during this season of lockdown. Maybe very practically you're at the bottom. No work, money run out, anxious about your mortgage or rent, feeding your family. If you're listening and that's you, please get in touch with the church office here. Or maybe your struggles are more within. Maybe you've just given up on things, close to giving up on life, or just people. Especially those irritating Christians who seem to be bouncing everywhere with a jangly message about Jesus. Maybe you've never really given any real thought to God in your life, but you're struggling now and want to come to him. But you know God will see your hypocrisy just because the moment's a bad one. Or maybe you have called, you do call yourself a Christian, yet you found yourself way down a path you know isn't where God wants you. Perhaps a relationship, or at work or school, something you've gotten into and you can't see a way out of it. Perhaps you don't even want a way out of it. Does Jesus care about you? Yes. Does Jesus want you to come to him and find forgiveness? Come to him with nothing to offer, no good works or great decisions, no status or good reputation, like the leper who came to Jesus with nothing? Yes. Jesus wants you to come to him. Does Jesus want to bring you into a right relationship with God, to a place of peace with God, where you know God's comfort and help, his guiding and sustaining hand? The joy of knowing he's taken that burden from you and dealt with its consequences already on the cross. Yes, no one is beyond the scope of Jesus' love. Jesus' desire to make us clean, forgive us, if we will come to him. Luke wants us to see Jesus' compassionate response to the leper. When people come in need to Jesus, they find in him grace beyond measure, giving us what we don't deserve, fixing us, starting from the inside out, our hearts and our relationship with God. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. Secondly, he has the power. Maybe you long to make things right with someone, a broken relationship. I fell out with my best friend from school nearly 20 years ago. Things are never one-sided, but I tried over the years to pull it back. I had the desire, but I didn't have the power to fix it. It's all well and good having the desire for something, longing for it with all our hearts, but it's no good if we don't have the power to make it happen. It remains simply a pipe dream. It's Disney theology, wonky theology. Just believe enough and anything can happen. It's unhelpful. It's even damaging when our desires and dreams don't come true. Verse 13. I am willing, Jesus said. Be clean. Wait for it. And immediately the leprosy left him. Bang. Or boom, we might say. The leprosy left him. I love this quote from Bishop J.C. Ryle, a lively emblem of Christ's power to heal our souls. A picture of Jesus' power to bring forgiveness and heal the state of our hearts. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. He also has the power. And we need it. Even with healthy bodies, our souls all need healing. Jesus can forgive any and every case of spiritual leprosy if we will but come to him and ask. No one is beyond the scope of Jesus' love, his desire to make us clean, to forgive us if we'll come to him. And no one is beyond the ability of Jesus' forgiveness. There is nothing we have done or can do that he cannot forgive, even when it costs him to do so. That's our final heading. He is willing to count the cost. Have you heard of the pale blue dot? I think we've got that on our next slide. Here's a picture. And I quote, 30 years ago, NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft had travelled well beyond the realm of the planets, nearly a billion miles further out than Neptune. It swiveled round and stared backwards, and there, pressed onto a star-studded sky, was pale blue earth. The pink arrow's mine to help us see the dot. That's not a big arrow in the universe. American astronomer Carl Sagan is quoted as saying of this picture, "That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who has ever lived out their lives on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam." Where is God in a universe so big? Let's move our slides on. God is not a distant and far off God, somewhere out there floating way beyond the pale blue dot. God is intimately involved in our lives. He is invested in us, even when it's costly for him to do so. Jesus touches the man, verse 13. Given that Jesus' word has been the focus of his power so far through chapters 4 and 5, this must be a deliberate act of touch, to touch the man covered in leprosy, when Jesus didn't have to. An act that would make Jesus unclean by letter of the Old Testament law. It would put Jesus outside the community, outside the worshipping community. Jesus' involvement in this life's man is costly. He is willing to count the cost. It's not just lip service or shouting from afar, but a real costly involvement for our sake. And we know Jesus' willingness to forgive us, to secure our forgiveness, will ultimately cost him his life. Read on through Luke's Gospel to chapter 23. Jesus loves us that much, he is willing to go that far. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. And of course, we're not Jesus. But for Christians, those who have turned to Jesus for forgiveness, it's a great challenge to our own ministries. In as much as Jesus is the perfect model of Christian living, to get in with, alongside those we are ministering to, one another, our local community, in a way that's costly, to get into people's lives and walk with them. It will take a conscious effort on our part to break out of our comfort zones, our comfort people, to reach out to others, to get to know others, especially those who are new to us, in a costly way for us, to support, encourage, and draw them into the community of God's people for their sake, and for God's glory, but that is Christ-like love. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. He has the power. He is willing to count the cost. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise that you care for us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, that you long for us to come to you for forgiveness, that you can forgive us and fix our broken relationship with you because of Jesus, who was willing to count that cost for us, dying in our place that we might have new life in him. We pray that we might each be those who turn to Jesus today and every day. Amen.